Well, it's good to be here. Actually, I am a little disappointed because I was hoping that Bono was here. So, yes, I will have to do. But it is good to be here. And it's also, man, kind of good to be done with the holidays. I love them, though, right? Don't we love the holidays? And we're glad sometimes when they're over, too. Loving-hate relationship, right? So how many of you are wearing your Christmas gear today? All right. See a couple Christmas sweaters. Great. Is it still smoky? Can you see me? All right, good. Just checking. I got this. I didn't know if that was my breath or what, but I do see a couple Christmas things. I am actually wearing some Christmas gear here today, so if you'll take a look. My new Christmas socks. Yeah, they're black. Pretty exciting. So, but it was a good holiday, and that's kind of what we do. You know, we do the Christmas thing, and then we did the New Year's Eve thing, which was fantastic. I was lying in bed. My wife was asleep next to me. It was about 11:55. I'm on my iPad, and all of a sudden, I'm like, it's now 11:59. So I'm like, live streaming of ball drop. There it goes. Hey, honey, look, watch this. Happy New Year. Happy New Year to you. And then we fell asleep. So that was about it. But man, New Year's, new times, good stuff. We went away for the holiday. We went actually to South Carolina. And the reason we did that is because we knew that when we got back from our holiday, we weren't going to see temperatures in Chicago above 30 degrees for at least 3 months. So we did the great thing. And what happened? We came back like this week, and it's like, it is spring. Anybody miss the snow? How many of you like the warm? Yeah, isn't that nice? The problem is, though, I came back and like, okay, last year I was like, I got to plant bulbs. Because my neighbor across the street, they've got the yard of all yards. And every spring, their bulbs are like, hello, we're here. Our yard is awesome and yours is worthless. We are the blooms that were planted in the fall because he thought ahead. So I'm like, I'm going to do that. I'm going to plant those bulbs. So I plant those bulbs, and the problem is they think it's spring right now. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? You need to mentor me here, because right now the only thought that I have is to get down and say, it's not happening. This isn't true. Get back in the ground, please. You're going to die. So I don't know if somebody can mentor me on that one later on, but I'd appreciate it. So anyway, so we had our New Year's Eve. And, you know, New Year's is kind of that time, especially in society, you know, pop culture, where, you know, they do some really deep, kind of collectively, this philosophical look in the mirror, don't they? And they put that all together in this wonderful thing called Entertainment Weekly's Best of and Worst of 2011. Now, I know none of you guys read trash like this. I actually don't either. I borrowed this from Pastor Scott. So, anyway, I was in his office and I was perusing through this. But, you know, we got the best of and we got the worst of 2011. And, man, I learned a few things here, you know. I learned that apparently Tom Cruise is cool again. So that's good. That was kind of, he had kind of a best of. I also learned that Lindsay Lohan, I guess is her name, she didn't have such a good year. I also learned what a Kardashian is. Yeah. And it's not something that you wear. I had no idea. So, and after I learned what a Kardashian was, I was like, I think I want to unlearn what that is too, but that's another conversation. But you know, as I was looking through this magazine of all that is pop culture, Kermit the Frog right there on the front. Now, Kermit the Frog, come on, that's a best of, right? They're bringing him back. So that's a good thing. So that's a best of. But we take this look and we look at all of these best of, worst of things. And I'm thinking, you know, especially the worst of, they put it out there in front of everybody to see. And I'm thinking, thank God I am not a celebrity. I will just stay anonymous. I don't want them putting my stuff out there. But I started thinking, what would it be like if I had my best of, worst of edition? Double edition, Mark Miller, the best of and the worst of 2011. Whew, it just makes me shudder to think about. I'd probably have a few best ofs, and there were maybe a couple good moments, but there were probably a lot of worst ofs as well. You know, it's January, and we all know what it means, because in January, we kind of do this sort of thing, don't we? Kind of look back. Now, pop culture, they look back for one edition, and then they're like, okay, we're done. Now let's move on to 2012, and who's hot now? You know, so we don't, who knows? But, you know, a lot of us, though, we come up with those, not best of, worst ofs, but we come up with New Year's resolutions. Anybody have one or two of those? Yeah. We had a lady in the 9 o'clock, and she was like, oh, I've got a resolution. And I was like, oh, really? And I was about to have her share it, and then I thought, for the sake of, you know, we're taping this stuff, so better not do that. But she was like, yeah, it's the same thing every single year. And I'm like, okay, well, we need to talk about learning and moving forward a little bit. But resolutions, when else do we have resolutions? It's always a New Year's resolution, you know? We don't talk about Easter resolutions, you know, or birthday resolutions or Halloween resolutions, but it's always the New Year's because it's a fresh start. Oh, aren't we glad 2011's over? Some people are like, no, I liked 2011. I'm not sure. I'm like, but whatever it is, and we all know that 2012, the end of the world as we know it's going to happen. So we got 1 year left. So these resolutions, guys, better be pretty good because this is it, you know? So go start working on them now. Let's pray. Let's bow in prayer and we'll conclude. No, but resolutions, I resolve that this is what I'm going to do. And this is how things are going to change. And, you know, it kind of makes sense, though. Resolutions, it makes sense. Of course, January, fresh start, and all of that. But resolutions are all about, you know, I don't want to be in the same place in January 2013 that I am now. Right? I see a few heads nodding. You know, I want to be at a different place. I want to be at a better place. I think all of us feel that. There's that sense that we have that we want to be making a little bit of forward progress. You know, there's a book a couple years ago written by a guy named Daniel Pink called Drive. And it's the whole book is about what motivates us as people. And I heard him speak a while back. And when he was speaking, he said, you know, what is the number one thing that actually motivates people to continue moving forward? And I thought, you know, I wonder what that is. You know, and he was kind of like, he's like, number one is so high and number two isn't even close. And this is like a 50-year study across industries. And I'm like, man, what is that? What is that thing? And I thought it's going to be money, right? And I thought, well, maybe if it's not money, maybe it's recognition. Or what if it's like making a significant impact? It's got to be something like that. So I'm thinking about, he said the number one motivator, it's making progress. Making progress. See, we want to make progress. We want to know that we're actually moving ahead. We want to know that where we were is not where we are. And there's some certain things in us that we've done that have helped to make us get there. And what does that tell us about how God's wired us? Because if everybody's kind of feeling that way, and that sense, and again, it's across industries, then there's probably something that we may maybe pay attention to. God's wired us in a way that we want to grow. We want to improve. We want to get better. And it really it kind of starts early. I mean, if you think about it, babies don't just start there and they just lie there forever, right? Now, some parents would kind of like that to be the case. Like, just stay there. It's much safer. This is a win-win for both of us. Just, yes. Sometimes I'll, like, walk in and I have three daughters, and sometimes I'll just, after the craziness of the day, I'll just walk into their room, and they're just angels sleeping. Emphasis on sleeping. They're just angelic. I have this one daughter, she doesn't move all night. She just is like this. And she has a smile on her face. She sleeps with a smile on her face. It's like this. I'm just like, how does she do it? And then the moment she wakes up, I'm like, But no, she's great. Love my kids. They keep me hopping. But you know, kid, they don't just stay there, do they? What do they do? What's one of the, parents, help me out. What is one of the first things that a baby does after that? Well, we know what they do, that thing. But what do they do? What's a developmental thing that we see them do? Even before that. They might like roll over, right? Like that's kind of, somebody said smile earlier today. I was like, that was good too. But yeah, but it's the little stuff. Now, did somebody say, you know what? It's time to roll over. Now, if you look over here, I've got a PowerPoint presentation that's going to show you how to do that. We got a couple of YouTube things. Once you get it down, we're going to talk about this. We're going to discuss it a little bit. I'm going to give you some feedback on some things you did well and some things you didn't do. No, none of that. You know, babies don't need it. They just know. There's something, they just like, I don't know why, but I'm supposed to do this. Whoop, you know, and then they roll over. Just, you know. And then what do? Then that next step, and then they kind of pull themselves up, right? And I know it's not like right after that, but they pull themselves up, and it's like, what? Who told you to do that? It's amazing. And what do? We're like, we're calling everybody. You know, we're videotaping this. It's immediately on Facebook and YouTube and everywhere. You know, we're writing this. You got to see this. Whatever. We love to see the progress. And they're like, oh, yeah, you think that's good? Well, watch this. And then they start crawling, and it's like our minds are blown away. You don't have to tell them to do that. One of my daughters, when she was learning to crawl, she actually was like, she learned to crawl backwards, okay? So she was, I'm like, hey, let's get this forward momentum thing going, you know? But again, didn't have to teach her how to move forward. She did it. Then she's crawling. And then they're walking. It's like, wow. And then eventually they're running. And then eventually they're driving. And then eventually they're driving you crazy. And then they're asking you for all your money, you know. So, but the thing is, it's making progress. They want to continue to grow and get better. It starts early. And again, that study was so eye-opening because the reality is we don't stop wanting to get better. We really don't. I think the problem is a lot of us don't know how to get better. And the truth is, we don't accidentally get better. We have to have some intentionality behind it. But the truth is that God's hardwired it us into us the fact that we want to grow. You know, one of the things that's cool about kind of being here at the Orchard over the past few years, and I've had a chance to speak here, is I love to see the improvement that happens here. See, I know that this church is a church that loves getting better. You guys love to improve. You love to keep moving forward. Every time I'm like, oh, wow, that's cool. I'm seeing, you know, even here, there's more people at 11 o'clock. I'm seeing the relationships that are going deeper. I'm seeing art that's getting even artier or whatever the word is. But it's cool. I love it. I love to see that. Even your logo here, it's awesome. You know, that's something that's growing. That's something that's improving. That's something that's getting better. See, the truth is God has placed that desire in us. It's a desire inside of us to get better. And part of that, I think he puts that inside of us because really God wants us to get better. God doesn't want us to be at the same place in a year that we are right now. He doesn't. Part of that is because God knows, and we know, that we're not perfect yet. And everybody can say a collective, oh yeah, I know. Because we know that. In fact, a lot of times when I'm asking, I ask people, hey, what's going well right now? It's like, well, not a lot, but here's what's going bad. You know, we instantly can go to that. We all know that stuff. There's just that, there's always that sense in us that, you know what, I can be doing better. I can be, you know, whatever that is. We know that. See, God knows as well that we've got room to grow. And what his purpose is, much like your mission statement that you guys have here as a church, is that you're to grow, love that word, to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. He knows the closer you move towards him, the more you're going to be able to reflect him to the rest of this world. So that's awesome to think about. We've got to grow. God wants us to grow. And the truth is, though, that life is speeding up and it's not slowing down. Anybody feel that a little bit? And so sometimes instead of moving forward, we feel like all we're doing is we're just kind of dodging life. And it's just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And, you know, I don't want to just react to life. I don't want to just dodge things. I want to know that I'm actually moving forward. And life can come so fast that we don't stop and take the time to do what is absolutely essential to growing, and that is learning. Learning is that intentional part of growing. It's that piece, that missing component. A lot of us, I just want to grow. You know, I want to get there. I love the end result, you know. If you could ask, hey, where do you want to be in a year? Well, I can tell you. I probably want to have this, and whatever. I heard one guy, he posted, and I don't know if this is around or whatever, if it's a retweet or whatever that is. But he said this. He said, you know, I want to have, he was like, by next year, he says, I want to have a fat wallet and a lean body. He's like, because in 2011, I got the two mixed up. And so I was like, all right, that's pretty good. But at least he had a goal in mind, right? You know, it's not bad. But the idea is that we can't grow if we're not learning. We absolutely cannot grow if we're not learning. Learning is that essential ingredient. It's really the fuel that keeps us moving in positive territory. You know, there's an old farm saying. Any farmers in here? Former farmers? Okay, good. That's great, because I have no idea if this is a farm saying or not. But it sounds like an old farm saying, and it goes something like this. It says you're either green and growing or you're ripe and you're rotting. You're either green and growing or you're ripe and rotting. And since I don't think the resolution on anybody's list is rotting, you know, can't wait to rot this year. That's my goal. You know, I just would more rot. But no, we don't. We want to grow. And since I think that's probably that growth is really what everybody wants for this year, we've got to understand that we've got to learn in order to grow. So this year, even this day, today, is about I want to learn. You know, I'm a leadership coach, and this is one of the primary questions that we ask wherever we go. Simple questions, and it's just this. What are you learning? What are you learning? It's not what did you learn or what have you, you know, what is that? No, it's what are you learning present tense? Because the expectation when I fly somewhere and I talk to somebody across a desk or a table is the expectation is that they're learning. Because I know this, they're not going to get any better if there's not learning taking place. It just doesn't happen. Can it happen accidentally? Good luck, because that's about what it is. It takes intentional effort to do that. And there's a couple quotes that I love about learning. One of them's from Alvin Toffler, and it says this: the illiterate of the 21st century will not be those who cannot read and write, but those who cannot learn, unlearn, and relearn. Love that. We've got to be learning. Sometimes we might need to unlearn some things. And then we got to relearn them. We got to keep that cycle of learning going. Peter Drucker, kind of the guru of the modern management. So if you know business, you've probably heard of Drucker. He's got a quote. It says this. It says, we now accept the fact that learning is a lifelong process of keeping abreast of change. Because obviously the world is changing so fast. And he said, and the most pressing task is to teach people how to learn. The most pressing task is to teach people how to learn. See, he understood that, again, if we're going to change, we can't get better without change. If we're going to change, we've got to understand that we've got to learn. And part of our learning is how to learn. What do I do? What does it mean to be a learner? We live in an information age. We're bombarded with tons of information, more and more information that comes at us. And more information does not necessarily equate into more and more growth and change. In fact, do you know what more and more information means to us? It means more and more information. And that's it. You know, I can Google it. You know, I mean, how many of us now have conversations? You'll be like, oh, yeah, and we're rolling off these facts. And somebody was like, well, according to Google, you're absolutely incorrect. Let me tell you the exact stat and the percentages right here. You know, and it's all on your phone. Well, we got a lot of information. Congratulations, we've got that. But it really, it just means that we're going to be better at some, you know, trivial game or something like that. But it doesn't mean that we've learned anything. The truth is, see, God wants us to learn because really God wants to take us deep in our learning because the purpose is that he now wants to move us forward in our action. Because as we learn, we then learn what we need to do. And there's some learning in the doing. And then we come back and we learn again. And then we do again. But the whole idea is that this momentum is moving us closer and closer and closer to the image of Christ. See, there's a thread that really is woven through Scripture. And it really is that learning and that action. But it starts with learning. See, God wants us to grow. He knows that to do that, we have to learn. And that thread that we see through Scripture are stories over and over of people who have learned and they're operating out of that, and people that absolutely have not learned and they're also operating out of that. And there's consequences for both, and they're pretty great. That first category, those that haven't learned, are tragic consequences, and we see it. Man, I love the fact that our Scripture, our Bible, actually keeps that stuff in there, and I'm really glad. It's the worst of, and I'm really glad because I identify with so many of those lessons, and it starts early. It starts in the first book, Adam and Eve. What did they not learn? They didn't learn to obey. Yeah, pretty simple, and yet difficult to do. The children of Israel, we see, wandering for 40 years. What they didn't learn to trust. We see even David. The Bible says, this man right here, he's a man after my own heart, God says. A man after God's own heart. Wow. David didn't learn to stay faithful. But then we could come to the New Testament. And you know, we're like, all right, New Testament, new page, 400 years have passed, and guess who is on the scene? It's the Jesus man. Yes, Jesus is on the scene. And see, Jesus is a game changer because they're now around Jesus. They're listening to him. They're seeing him do his stuff. There's no way that there's going to be a worst of moment. In fact, it's all going to be best on from here on for anyone who calls themselves a follower of Jesus, right? Wish it was true. Wish it was true. And I'm so glad that in there we even see that these disciples that who followed him were right there with him, got all the information, were able to see with their eyes. Even the disciples didn't learn what it means in the kingdom of God that they're supposed to take the last seat and not the first. And that was a common theme with many of the disciples. See, I need that lesson. I need to be reminded of that. Most of us need to be reminded more than instructed. You know, that's that learning loop that we have. Because I know that I like to take that first seat so often. And even with them being around Jesus with all that information, they still didn't learn that. See, person after person, story after story shows us that loving God with all of our hearts, soul, strength, and mind is simple to hear and really tough to learn. If it was easy, hey, we'd all have only best ofs, wouldn't we? See, this is hard stuff, and I wish that it wasn't. I wish that it wasn't hard stuff to love God like that. I wish it wasn't hard to love our neighbor as ourself. I wish that came easy, but it doesn't. And again, I'm glad that the Bible's full of a lot of those worst ofs, but you know what? There's also a lot in there of best ofs. People that have learned, they've understood that this is something that I not only need to listen to, but I need to put into action. Some of those worst of moments, I think of, you know, when God sees that someone hasn't learned, I also see, what I see is his heart breaking. Because God knows, just like a parent looks at a child when a child disobeys. Man, when my kids don't do what the, man, I mean, yes, it does just tick me off. And that's part of just, you know, I'm like, all right, chill out. But there's also that part where I'm like, oh, man, I just struggle with this. Yesterday, it was so tough. I had just come in the day before, just flown in, and I'm like, I don't want to be the bad guy here. You know, I could let this slide, but I can't do that. I got to talk to her about it. What did she do? I'm not going to mention who it was for the sake of the anonymous. I'll change the names to protect the innocent. But what did she do? She took my car mat out of my car and decided to put it at the floor of her tent underneath our pine tree. Thank you very much. She knows she wasn't supposed to do that. And we've talked about that before. And my heart broke, actually, because I was like, you know, we've talked about this before, and this is going to be so difficult to talk about. But I knew that I had to do that. So we had the conversation, and yes, there were some consequences with that, and that was tough. But the reality is, I was just, ah. Oh. See, God, that's how God is with us. God so desires to have us moving forward. God isn't angry at us, he's angry for us. See, because the truth is, he knows that as we move closer to him, as we move closer to the Son, then we might be able to reflect that light to the rest of the world that needs it. And if we're not moving in that positive direction, and we're moving more and more away from that because we're not learning, then really the light of the world, how are they going to see that? This world that so desperately needs some hope, they need to see the love of Christ. And so God knows that, yeah, it's about you, but it's also about everybody else too, reflecting my light. Some of those good examples, though, in Scripture that I love to see, there's also some good ones too, is Nehemiah, who learned the importance of prayer. See, Nehemiah was a great leader, and he knew right at the beginning of the book, what does he do? He says, you know what? We've fallen away from where we should be. What do we need to do? We need to repent right away. What is repenting? It's like, I walked in this direction, now I'm walking in this direction. I'm going to leave that behind. And I need to pray about it. And I need to ask God, Lord, forgive me. Help us, forgive us. Let us move forward. See, Nehemiah knew that. He was a learner. He learned the importance of prayer. Another example, Daniel. Daniel, who was in a culture where it was very easy to get tempted by power because he was very good at what he did. And there were times that it was temptation to hey, just go this way or go that way. And Daniel said no, because Daniel knew the importance and learn the importance of courage. Even David, who we talked about earlier, he was on the best of, or the worst of. David also had his best of moments too. In fact, David not only was a leader, a king, and a warrior, David also, he was a poet, and he would write these songs. And at the end of a lot of these songs, he'd write this little Hebrew word, and it was this, Selah. And what it means pause. Think about it. Pause. Think about it. So what I just poured out of my heart, kind of the heart of God, because that's who he was, man after God's own heart, he would say, hey, think about this for a minute. Take a moment and do that. Love that. He knew the importance of that. In the New Testament, we're told that Mary, with all the turmoil and the craziness that was surrounding her life, the supernatural circumstances going on there, we know that it says that she pondered things in her heart. Then there's the only reference to Jesus' most formative years in Luke chapter 2, and it says this, the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Love that. Says he grew and became strong, was filled with wisdom. And two-thirds of the New Testament was written by Paul, who writes in Colossians over and over again that his prayer for the church is that the church would continue to grow in the knowledge of God, continue to grow in the knowledge of God, continue to grow in the knowledge of God. See, there's learning going on. A passage that I love that emphasizes the importance of being a learner is Paul's letter to a student by the name of Timothy. Listen to see if you can hear a little bit of Paul's emphasis on learning in this passage. It's his second letter to Timothy. It's chapter 3, verse 10. And he says this, "You, Timothy, however, you know all about my teaching. You know about my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, suffering, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured." And by the way, how did he know all of that? Because he was a learner. He was with him there. But it says, "Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know that those from whom you learned it." Again, "You know from those who you learn, from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." See, Timothy was learning from people. He was learning from circumstances. He was learning from Scriptures. There wasn't anything that he wasn't learning, because he learned from a learner, Paul, and Paul passed it on. Paul talks to Timothy. He writes to Timothy and says, Titus. He writes to Titus and he says, "Titus, make sure you teach the older women to make sure that they're teaching the younger women." He also writes to the younger. He was like, "Don't despise your youth. Please don't do that." Why? Because the older need to learn from you. So there's this whole learning thing that's happening where we can learn from everywhere and every source, because you don't grow unless we're learning. You know, I was thinking about this the other day, and I thought, you know, how many have heard of IQs? Yes. What does IQ stand for? It stands for intelligence quotient, your capacity to be intelligent. I was on the plane a couple of weeks ago, and some guy, I was, of course, doing the easy crossword puzzle, and what was he doing? I looked over. You can't help but looking over at the guy next to you. And what was he doing? He was doing the Mensa quiz. You know what the Mensa quiz is? Like, I don't even understand the instructions on the Mensa quiz. So, you know, it's like for people that have like an IQ of like 5,000 or something like that. I don't know. But it's huge. So anyway, but there's IQ, and then there's EQ. What does EQ stand for? Do you know that? Emotional intelligence. Yeah, it's actually a very helpful thing. It talks about what's your capacity kind of to relate in things, and your ability and your emotions and handle that and things like that. So that's a great thing. I thought, you know what, we need a new one. So here we go. Are you ready for this new one? It's, what is your LQ? What is your learning quotient? What is your learning quotient? What is your capacity to learn? Because there's certain things that learners do. There's certain behaviors that learners have that I just know can be helpful in moving us forward. The tragedy, though, is, Mark Twain wrote this. He said, you know, we enter school as question marks and we leave as periods. Yeah. Learning quotient. See, that's not how it's supposed to be. See, as adults, if we have that desire in us to make progress, we want to move forward. Man, let's get learning. Let's go. Let's learn some things from the past, from the present, and the future. See, here's a couple behaviors that learners have that I've been able to spot. Learners, they listen more than they speak. They listen more and they speak less. I have one guy that I'm coaching, and he likes to talk. And sometimes he likes to even hear himself talk. And creative guy. Very interesting to listen to. Absolutely interesting to listen to. But he was realizing he wasn't getting a whole lot of learning himself and his other relationships with the people. And so I said, you know what? And this is something that somebody had taught me. I just said, you know what? What does WAIT stand for? What does that acronym stand for? W-A-I-T. He's like, I have no idea. I was like, it stands for Why Am I Talking? See, some of you, that little acronym, that was worth the price of admission today, all right? So you're like, now I'm going to pull out my pen. Wait. Yeah. I do that myself. So in relation, because there's so, we might learn something from someone else. Wow, look at that. By listening, just not talking. See, because learners also are curious and they ask questions. We learn more by asking than we do by telling. A telling posture is a mentor posture, and that's great. Sometimes we need to have that hat on. We need to share that with other people. But if that's the only hat we wear, we don't have that learner hat, then we're not going to be a mentor for very long, because we've got to continue to learn, to continue to improve. See, learners also, they see the beauty in failure. Learners see the beauty in failure. There's a great story, you may have heard it, in the 1960s. IBM CEO Tom Watson, he called an executive into his office after this executive's project that he had been working on had cost the company $10 million, and it was an absolute failure. So this guy calls him into the company, or into his office, and he says, "Do you know why I've called you into my office?" And we know why, right? He was like, "Yeah, you're going to fire me." He was like, "Fire you? Are you kidding me? I just spent $10 million educating you. I just want to know if you learned the right lessons." That was great. See, we've got to be learning. There's beauty in failure. A lot of life is failure. If we're going to risk some great things for God, then guess what? We're probably going to fail. And if we fail, and I'll tell you, there's a cultural thing happening right now, and it's really scary to me. We've got an emerging generation that's coming up, and as soon as they fail, it's like, "Oh, I'm devastated. And I'll never move forward. I'm never going to be anything." What? We've got to teach our kids it's okay to fail. In fact, there's beauty in failing. But if you fail and you just stay there, then that is a tragedy. What are you learning from that failure? What did you learn? What are you going to do differently? How are you going to improve? How are you going to deepen your learning so you can move forward in your action? See, learners understand that there's beauty in failure. Learners also see the pitfalls of success, too. See, pride goes before a fall. God lovingly and humbly, humbles the proud, and he lifts up the humble. Because see, when we get a little bit too much into our success, there's something that happens. We're like, "You know what? I know this stuff. Yeah, I'm all right. I got it. I got it going on, you know? That other stuff, I'm good. I've left that behind." No, see, that's not it. That's not it. God wants us to be humble, to walk in that humility. Learners also, they read, they observe, and they absorb. See, they see everything's an opportunity to learn. Yeah. What are we reading? Man, there's an opportunity to learn here. Who am I talking to? Who am I surrounding myself with? What am I learning? There's an intentionality that goes on with that. And God wants us to continue to grow and continue to learn. See, God is our greatest cheerleader. And God's like, because some of us are in that infant state, you know, we're just an infant in our faith. And God's saying, "Oh man, I want you to grow. I want you to learn. I want you to begin to crawl," you know. And those that are crawling, God's like, "Oh man, I can't wait until you begin to pull yourself up and you begin to take a step." And for those that are just walking, God's like, "I can't wait until you start running and going. This is awesome, running towards me, running towards your destiny, running towards the purposes that I have placed in your hearts." God wants us to grow. He wants us to learn from every circumstance, everything in the past, and everything in the present with intentionality so that we can deepen our learning, so that he can move us forward in our actions. There's three learner questions that I just want to leave you with today. And this is where I would ask you, take out a pen. If you don't have a pen around you, find somebody that has one and you share it or something. I don't know. But grab a pen. And if you don't have your notepad, then just write on your jeans right here, all right? Or write on your palm, you know, wherever it is. But write these things down, because I want you to ask yourself these three questions, because these are learner questions. I'll tell you, the people at the, you know, you probably, maybe you've asked these questions before, but I'm saying ask them anew right now. Ask them fresh. First question, what is one thing that I need to keep doing? What's one thing I need to keep doing? Because there's probably a best of thing that's been happening recently in your life that you're doing well. It's really important for us to remind ourselves that there's some things that we've now done. There's maybe a new plateau that we've arrived at. We need to remind ourselves, I need to keep doing that. I've started to become more honest in 2011. Great. Keep doing that. I've started to reach out in relationships with other people. Great. Keep doing that. I've started to pray more. Amazing. How are you going to continue to do that? So we've got to keep that moving forward. Another question, what is one thing that I need to stop doing? What is one thing that I need to stop doing? Not 10 things, because we'll get lost, all right? Just one. And if you can't think of one, ask somebody that's close to you, because they can probably come up with about 10. And just, no, stop. One, all right? Okay. Just what? One thing. What's one thing that I need to stop doing? And then this last question, you probably are already going there in your mind. What's one thing that I need to start doing? What's one thing that right now I probably need to start doing this? If I started to do this, there might be some positive change that's going to move me forward. And the question after that, because it's great if we've learned all this stuff, and I hope you do. I hope you really ask yourself those questions. I hope you reflect on that. Take a little bit of time. You know, it's so important to do that. Your pastor right now, you know what he's doing? Yesterday, right before we got, before I was getting up to speak last night, he texted me, and he was like, hey, sorry I can't be there. Wish that I could, but you know what I'm doing? I'm getting away because I'm reflecting on the past, because I want to really move this church forward into the future. So you got a learning pastor. This is a learning community. We have a learning culture here. And the great thing is we can learn a lot of these things, but that next step is so important. And here's the next question. What am I going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? It could be one thing with each one of those, or just one thing, period. This is one thing that I'm going to say, I want to commit to doing this. I'm going to commit to it through prayer. I'm going to commit to it through reading scripture that's going to pour into my life. I'm going to commit to it by sharing it with somebody else that's around me who's going to help me with that. Because you've got a whole group of people right here in your midst that God has given you as a gift. It's the body of Christ. It's not Jesus and me. No, this is the body of Christ. And you guys, there's such a beauty in that. And you can ask them, say, hey, you know what? I'm going to share this with you in a week. Can you just ask me how I'm doing in this area? Can you ask me, hey, what have I learned? Maybe in a month or whatever it is, but get it on the calendar. Have them ask you that question. What have you learned? Hey, what's one thing you can maybe even do better with that? And then just stop. If you're the person on the other end, just stop. Why am I talking? Don't all of a sudden have the answers. Hey, I've learned some things about that too. And here's 3 points, and they begin with the letter P. You know, don't do that, all right? Just listen to them. Let them process through a little bit about that. Because the truth of all of this is this. I'll tell you what. When I come and I speak in front of the body of Christ, it is such an awesome responsibility that I have. Before I came before you today, I said, God, what do you want to impart into the orchard? What do you want to share with them? What do they need to hear? And I felt him saying, you know what? Talk to them about learning. Talk to them about learning. Because that's going to put them in a really good posture for this coming year. Because the stakes are high. There's people around you where their lives are an absolute wreck. Maybe your life is even at that place too. And if we don't learn, and if we don't move forward with that intentionality and that grace that God gives us to do that, then I don't want to be here in January 2013 and ask you, hey, how are things going? You're like, you know what? We're really about the same. We haven't really moved forward at all. Man, we don't want to be there. We want to move forward because the stakes are just too high. Let's bow in prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be in front of this great group of people. Lord, I thank you for the orchard. I thank you for each person that's here. Lord, I thank you that you've put in our hearts a desire to grow, a desire to move forward, not to stay where we are. God, that's not from us. We know that you put that there because you're constantly helping us to course correct so that we can move ourselves back in line with your purposes. And Father, I pray that we would be a body that continues to grow, continues to learn, and seeks out people who will help us to learn, and looks to Scripture to help us to learn, and looks at circumstances that will help us to learn, and looks at failure that will help us to learn, and look at our successes and how we can learn. Lord, help us to continue to grow, continue to learn, and be the body that you want us to be. In your name we pray. Amen.